You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I went a little early there. Sorry if you heard me. I am TJ Burkle alongside Matty Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. How are you tonight, gentlemen?
Doing great, TJ. Living the dream.
Good. Glad to hear it. Hey, guys, you know, you've been listening to us promote Certified Piedmontese Beef now for several months. And, you know, we've had the chance to enjoy quite a bit of it as common fans. I wanted to get your guys' take. What's been the favorite thing you've had so far from CP Beef?
There's all of it's good, obviously, but yeah. If I could say one thing that was my number one favorite, I love smoking meat on my smoker, and they gave us a 4-pound chuck roast that was just awesome. And yes, the chuck roast. I put that on there and I smoked that for a few hours, and they call like roast, like almost like, you know, you guys do, not ribeye. What's the big cut of beef? The expensive one, Owens. You know what I'm talking about.
Tomahawk.
Yes, like that. But it's almost like a poor man's, and it was so good. Like it rivaled like anything else that like I've eaten from other companies. It was awesome. Like I loved it, and it didn't take very long to make. So good stuff.
Love it, buddy. What about you, Mario?
You know, the easy answer would be like their ribeyes, because their ribeyes are phenomenal. But the thing that surprised me the most was their beef hot dogs. Oh my gosh. The kids all loved them. I loved them. My wife, who doesn't eat meat, it's her loss. But she even said, oh my God, those hot dogs look so good. They're phenomenal hot dogs. And you know what? It's, you know, everybody's kids love hot dogs, right? So Go and get yourself some Certified Piedmontese Beef hot dogs. My God,
they're huge too. Yeah.
They're huge.
I love that. I'll say I'm with you. Like I'm a ribeye guy, and their ribeyes are phenomenal. You can't go wrong with the ribeyes. I'll say two other things. My kids are loving just the burgers we're making with the ground beef. I feel like when we get it, you know, at the grocery store, you know, I know we probably get a little bit leaner, but, it's just like the perfect 85%, 15%. And so it's just like the perfect proportion, really flavorful. Like the kids are absolutely loving everything we're doing with the ground beef. Yeah. So you can't go wrong there. Ribeyes are great. And then we also had we were grilling something else, and the fillets come as, at least the ones we have, are 4-ounce fillets. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm going to throw a few of these on just as like a little taster for everybody. And I was like regretting not having the fillets be the centerpiece of the meal. They were so good.
Yeah.
So tender, so flavorful, the phenomenal. I threw a ton of butter on those babies too, by the way. But they were just phenomenal.
100%. Like, I'm glad that you said that, because I wanted to bring that up. Out of everything, my kids, it's a lot to get them to eat meat, period. Like, they're just really, really picky. But Janie and my Owens, also my wife, is not a big meat eater either, but she will dabble if it's right. They love the fillets. Like, the fillets are, and I think that's just awesome. No, it's not fatty. It's just really lean and good. I love it. It's so good.
It's so good. Tender, flavorful. Fantastic.
Yep.
Well, get to your local Mercado Butcher Shop, common fans. There's two in Lincoln, one in Omaha. You can also go to cpbeef.com to get Certified Piedmontese shipped right to your front door anywhere across all 50 states. Certified Piedmontese, powering the Husker football team and powering the Common Fan Podcast. We've got a really fun episode planned today, common fans. One of the things I love about being a fan podcast is, like, we really try hard to bring like meaningful Husker football content to the fellow common fan listeners. Like, we want to talk about stuff that Husker fans are interested in. We want to talk about stuff that's timely. We want to all those things, right? But we're a fan podcast, so we can do fun things too. And we can talk about things that are of interest to the fan base, but maybe like we don't have to follow sort of certain journalistic protocols or, you know, worry about ethics or things
like
that.
We don't have any journalistic integrity. We're not journalists.
Right. We don't have any ethics. Right.
No, not at all.
And so, tonight we are going to evaluate the five most annoying coaches that the Huskers will play in the 2024 season. So the most annoying coaches of opposing teams on Nebraska's schedule in 2024. I'm really excited about this because I think I hate most of them. And so other than the ones I don't know. So it's just a matter of like figuring out who your list of five is. As always, when we do these things, common fans, we have not compared notes in advance. We have no idea what each of us is going to say, and we're going to go around and go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So we'll end on the most annoying coach. I'm kind of wondering if we're all going to have the same number one. I'm excited to get there. But let's start with number five. We'll go in the same order every time. Our last episode, we did schedule predictions. Matty O, you got to go first. So let's shake it up. Let's have Geoff go first.
I can't copy Matt's answers this time.
Exactly. You can't, Geoff. Geez. Good luck.
Group project guy who did zero research now has to go first.
Oh, I'm looking at the schedule right now. I hate that guy.
I'm Googling head coaches' names right now.
Right now, as I speak. For real. All right,
Geoff, number five for you, buddy.
Number five. So I know this will be contradictory, but if we're there's limited coaches that on our schedule that I actually know and actually follow for real. And so Luke Fickell, if we're going to talk about annoying coaches, like, yes, he's a good coach, but I feel like he does get like they didn't really do great last year and they really wanted like they were selling him as like the savior of Wisconsin coming in there, the greatest hire they've had in the past, you know, whatnot. So I would say I don't know if I consider him annoying. I just consider him just he's out of all the annoying coaches on the list, he's the lowest on the list. Like he's there, but I don't know like a lot of these other, I don't know UTEP's coach. I don't really know Indiana's coach. I'm basing this off of the coaches that I just know. Sure. And so I would say out of the most at all the coaches I know, I'd say Luke Fickell is on the bottom of my list of annoying coaches, but he is just overhyped, yeah. I think, in some cases. I guess
that's interesting because you were drooling all over him on the last episode.
But I was anyway, not drooling all over him.
You showed us, you had an autographed picture of him that you showed us. You said, look at him. Look how good looking he is.
Yeah, he's so handsome. He is handsome, by the way.
But the common fans who don't know Luke Fickell's Wisconsin's head coach, by the way. Mm-hmm. All right, Luke Fickell for Geoff. Matty O, what do you got?
Geoff,
please jam your straw into your icy cup and take loud sips from it all episode long. That would be really great if you could do that, please. Thank you so much. Matty O.
I'm going with the pretty boy quarterback guru out in LA, Lincoln Riley. You know, I'm a guy that loves complementary football. You know, you got an offense that moves the ball and holds on to it for a while for protect your defense. Your defense gets you their offense the ball back. There's two main phases of football, and his teams, even going back to Oklahoma, have almost said, you know what, defense. You know, sure, we'll play a little defense, but they don't. They've never really. Tackled well. They never held anyone under, you know, they've always allowed a lot of points. I it's hard for me to like, everybody loves touchdowns and scoring a lot of points, but I'm a guy that likes defense and likes tackling and likes takeaways and sacks and they don't play that way. And he's, I don't know. He's kind of skimmed by with having like a really good quarterback that makes amazing plays and they'll win 9 or 10 or 11 games and then just get boat raced in the CFP because they don't play any defense and they aren't physical enough. So nothing personal against the guy. That's just, I don't like the way his teams have played football. So
great pick. Okay. We should feel free to get personal on this episode, by the way.
I will end up getting very personal.
Good. I also had Lincoln Riley as my number five. And I'll tell you why. He basically inherited a playoff caliber football program at Oklahoma. In year one at USC, he went 11-3. In year two, last year, he went 8-5. And so I still believe that it remains to be seen. Like, I think USC going to the Big Ten will be his big test. Like, is like he, and you know, he's going to be able to get top notch recruits at USC. Don't get me wrong, but he's obviously a good coach. I think it remains to be seen if he's a great coach. I think it remains to be seen if he's an elite coach. And I mean, like, let's face it, at Oklahoma, he basically had to win, you know, you win the Big 12, you're in the CFP. So again, shouldn't take that lightly. We haven't, you know, we haven't been there. And then here's one other thing, that Riley, I want to read this Riley quote about the move to the Big Ten. He said, quote, "We're playing some different people and there'll be a few different things schematically and all that. But sometimes it gets made out in the media that the Big Ten is some wildly different deal. It's football. So a couple of teams play one with one more tight end, like, big deal." Okay.
Lincoln. You know what? That sounds like things I would have said when we went from the Big 12 to the Big 10, and then look that turned out.
It's true. Let's see how the boys are feeling in November, Lincoln.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I've got Lincoln Riley as my most annoying coach. I've got a lot of reasons for that.
He's low on your list. Like, that's what
we play 12 coaches, Jeff. There's 12 coaches we play. We're just doing the top five.
I want to go out there. Like, I'm worried about that game. We all know they're going to be really talented. I think they're going to be tough to beat, but I want to see us, like, push them around at least.
Yeah.
I want them to remember that they played Nebraska, you know?
Yeah.
All right.
You're like, remember the night that they played the Titans.
Remember the night they played the Huskers. All right, Jeffrey, number four for you, buddy.
Owen said he was going to get personal, and I won't get personal. I know he will, but I'll say Kirk Ferentz. Like, he's right there. He'll be on both of your lists, I'm sure. His might be a little bit lower than yours, but just the nepotism alone, just hiring family members, just, it's lame. I hate it. We all went to that game last year and I saw him in person. He's just a smug, smug, smug SOB. I just don't like the guy. Not a big fan. And he's Nebraska's rival. So
not just hiring family members also, Jeff, but like keeping them employed in the face, yes, against all evidence.
Blind loyalty. Hey,
some of us have some things to add to that later on. So let's not go too far.
That's why I wanted to just like get it out of the way early. Right. Because I know that Owens in particular is going to have very strong opinions about that.
All is in the face of complete and total incompetence, keeping those family members employed until you're forced to let them go. Yep. All right, sorry, Matty O, number four.
Number four, I kind of am with Jeff. Not that I don't know a lot of these coaches we play. I don't care about who coaches UTEP or UNI or any of that. But I had four definite ones. This one, I guess, kind of creeped up in my mind this year, and it's a little bit different reasoning, but I'm going with Ryan Walters at Purdue. One of the main reasons being he's a freaking CU Buff alum. Like, he played against us. And I remember before we played them last year, I think one of our tight ends when we played him, I think it was maybe JB Phillips, just absolutely ear-holed him. And he got up a little woozy. And I remember seeing that before we played. I'm like, oh, we're going to beat these guys. This guy. And he made some comments last year about playing Nebraska and how he didn't like. And he was like really like too honest about not liking Nebraska. And, you know, for those two reasons alone, like, this guy needs to get lost. And, you know, but for the record, this guy's not going to be coaching Purdue that much longer. I mean, they did not look real good last year. I can't really see them, you know, being even a winning team here. And you know, given it's Purdue, so if they go 6-6, 7-5, they're going to be TP in the trees in West Lafayette and throwing a party because they're a second rate program. But I'm going with Ryan Walters as my number four.
Wow. Interestingly, okay. after saying all that, didn't you pick us to lose to Purdue in the?
I did, but not for those reasons. Not because he's a good coach. If you remember, my reasoning was we're going to beat ourselves.
That's right. Okay.
Purdue's not going to beat us. Nebraska's going to beat Nebraska.
Wow. Good job, Matt. Good job defending yourself. That's great.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, I've got I don't even know how to pronounce his last name. It's the new guy at Indiana, Kurt Cignetti.
What'd this guy
What are
do to
you?
you?
You had prejudice against Italians?
What'd this guy do to you? You guy. I hate him. He's annoying.
Well, a couple of things, guys. First of all, Indiana, I read somewhere, I don't know if this is accurate because I'm a Common fan. I didn't have time to look it up, but they're like the losingest program in college football history. Or maybe they're the losingest Power Five program. Or they're the losingest, we'll just call them the losingest program in college football history. So I'm annoyed that they're even trying, first of all right?
Just pack it up.
I'm annoyed.
Just take
I'm
your ball and
annoyed.
go.
I'm annoyed that they're making any sort of effort at all.
Just
And
stop.
so
Just play basketball. You got the best warm-ups in all of college basketball. Just keep playing basketball.
Can you
You
just
got
stop?
the movie Hoosiers. Everybody knows you're a basketball school. You got Bobby Knight. Just like embrace, and that's not going too well for you. So like focus on that, and you can run a football team out there. Just don't try. Okay. Like
There's no
that,
point.
like there's no point in trying. They went and got the guy from James Madison who's winning lots of games. I don't think it's going to translate. I don't think it's going to work out well for him. But the other thing that annoyed me was he was giving an interview for some reason. He was at Lucas Oil Stadium and he was like, I figured I had to make this trip up here since we'll be playing in this game next year.
Oh my
talking
God.
about talking
Oh.
about the Big Ten championship game.
Is one of
Kurt,
those guys.
news from the Common fans. No, you won't, Kurt. No, you won't.
No.
Like you're Indiana.
Sorry, pal.
You're Indiana. It's not happening. It's not happening,
Oh,
Indiana.
geez. Now I wish I put him on my list.
And so I don't even know anything about him.
Look at TJ
Other
doing his
than the
research.
few things that I looked up, he's also like 62 years old or something like that. He's roughly the same age Mike Riley was when he started at Nebraska. We know that
Yeah.
doesn't work. We know that
Yeah,
doesn't
that
work.
doesn't pan
When
out.
you're asking someone to come into a conference they've never been in before and do the best coaching job of their life, it's not going to work. All
No.
right. I mean, I love, no comments about ages here. Like we love people of all ages on this program. I'm just talking about like
So,
that's a big
ageism.
job.
Just so we can make notes here,
Ageism,
you don't
TJ.
like
It's crazy.
Italians, and you don't especially don't like old Italians. So there's the ageism and some the
Yeah.
prejudice towards
Oh,
Italians.
you said 62 was old, man. I didn't even say it was old.
You
That's
implied it. You implied it. It was
all
implied.
right.
You can file for Social Security at age 62. That's all I'm
Thank
saying.
you can, Jeff. You
Yeah.
can.
Thank you. Jeff's an expert on these matters. All right. Number three, Geoff.
Okay. I am sure this is going to be on everybody's list is if not at the very, very top. But Coach Prime, Deion Sanders, Deion is obnoxious. Obviously, this is no surprise to anyone, but without any earning of just their whole aura, they've done nothing to earn what the spotlight that they get, except for their head coach was a former NFL star. And had some success at what was it, Jacksonville State? Is
Jackson
that where he
State,
was at before?
Jacksonville State.
Jackson
Yeah.
State. Yeah,
Jackson
Jacksonville
State.
State.
Jackson State. Sorry, Jackson State. Yeah.
That's it. And this guy deserves all the praise because he's apparently revamping the entire way that we do things in college football. This is obvious. He's just annoying. He takes shots at players when they leave. Like he drops down to the level of a teenager. It's unbelievable to me that part of me understands why people follow him, especially the younger folks, but he is the most look at me guy that, in my opinion, does not, and I say this as confidently as I can say it, does not actually give a shit about the team. It's all about Dion's him. It's about him. He
Yep.
wants to be bigger. He wants to be in the limelight, and that's what he does. He's good at it. So I guess you could say that if he's good at something, he's good at his job and it's staying in the spotlight. But it's the most obnoxious thing ever. Cannot stand the dude. That's all I have to say.
I'm surprised he wasn't your number one, but I
Yeah.
love all of that, Geoff Medio.
I'm going with an old friend of the program. Our buddy out in Champaign. Not spelled the right way, by the way, Champagne. Bert Bielema. As I said, in our schedule predictions episode, he's kind of had our number a little bit going back to his days at Wisconsin. But I think that's turned, I mean, that started to turn last year. We took care of business after he tried to set the stadium on fire, cooking tombstones, watching film. But I just can't stand the guy. I mean, by all accounts, and I know he's a good football coach. He has been for a long time. Didn't work out at Arkansas. But, you know, I just – there's something about Burt that I just look at him. I'm like – and I feel a little bit sorry for him because, you know, I don't know. I don't know why. Maybe it's the weight. And I know he's probably struggling with his weight issues. But he can't stop drinking beer, can't stop eating the tombstones. He's got a smoking hot wife, so he's doing something right.
Yeah, so don't feel sorry for him.
I'd still do a little bit. Yeah. But no, I don't. Burt is my number three just because, you know, he's had our number. But again, that's starting to change. You know, if they had beat us last year, he might be higher on my list at number two, or probably not number one, but maybe number two.
It's Burt. Interesting. That's interesting, Matty O. Now that you said that and looking at the way my list lines up, I wonder if we're going to have almost identical lists. So my number three, my number three is also Burt.
Okay.
And it's, I remember, I think his name was mentioned as maybe even like a serious candidate when we were hiring Riley.
Yeah.
And I remember a lot of Husker fans were like, oh, that'd be a good hire. And I remember being like, no. I don't want to hire him. I don't ever want to hire him. I don't want him to have anything to do with Nebraska football. I think he's an above average coach, but like only like wherever the line of average is, he's only like his feet are dangling over it.
And
like
he's never going to go higher.
That, yeah, exactly. He's not that high above average. He inherited a well-oiled machine at Wisconsin. Yes. Right. We saw what he's had to do on his own at Arkansas, when he's had to do it on his own at Illinois. They're okay. They get some wins. They're slightly above average, but they're not great. They're never going to be great. It's kind of funny. Like, when we beat them, I find him kind of entertaining. Like, whatever. Like, he's kind of funny. He's got, you know, melted cheese from the tombstone dripping down his chest, like, while he's watching film. Like, he's just kind of a funny Big Ten football coach that's, like, fun to have around. But he's one of those guys that when we lose to them, or when we lose to a Burt Bielema coach team, I get so angry because we should never lose to this guy. Like, he just doesn't feel like someone who should be out coaching our teams. And that's what it felt like. You think about that, the first game of 2021 when we played at Illinois to start the season. Remember that?
Yeah.
And we lost to them. I think we lost them by about 28-20.
His first season.
Something like that.
His first season in Illinois.
So annoying. And like, there was a lot of belief that the Huskers were going to turn a corner that year. The defense was really good that year. That was the best 3-9 team in history, as we'll recall. But like, that was just one of those ones that like, we had some self-inflicted errors. They had a couple of drives where they kind of ran over us, which felt like shouldn't be happening. And it was just so annoying. So like, so aggravating. So Bielema is my number three as well. And there's a lot of good reasons for that.
And you know where you played college football, right?
Where?
The University of Iowa at Iowa City. He's a Hawkeye.
Heard of that.
I mean, So
he does have a distinct look on his face too. I know if our listeners aren't watching the YouTube channel, they can't see this, but he always just seems like he's back and he has like his mouth agape. He always just looks like this, like that's it. Like, he always just there's nothing there. You can't even see his teeth.
All right. Number two for you, Gio.
I think you'll see a trend now, and I think you'll figure out why I took Prime at number three, because number two, I'm going to go with, you've already mentioned him, Lincoln Riley.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can't stand this guy. One, I don't know how familiar you are with the term punchable face, but he just has a punchable face. He has like have you ever heard of people say that Justin Thomas has a punchable face?
Yeah.
The golfer.
Yeah.
Lincoln Riley has a punchable face. He just looks like an asshole with that visor. Like, I would punch him in the face. He would kick my ass if I punched him in the face, but he has a punchable face. And again, let's not forget, I think people, does it just kind of, like, has it gone by the wayside about the way this guy exited Oklahoma? What a freaking, I don't want to say it, but a pansy, I'll say it that way. Like, the way this guy left and took everybody with him, he just bailed. Like, he was supposed to be, I think, Oklahoma's next big thing. He was supposed to save them. And then out of nowhere, he just completely abandoned ship. Could you imagine if that happened to us? Like, we had, what if Scott Frost panned out and he was the chosen one and was doing well, and he completely jumped ship and took people with him? Like, it's offensive. And I feel like this guy's just kind of a D-bag, man. I just don't like him. And he plays for USC. And I think you guys know why I don't like USC. So for that reason, he's number two on my list.
He coaches USC, Jeff. So you're saying, you're saying you don't like Lincoln Riley then.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm not a big fan.
Matty O, number two.
Number two, I am going with Coach Prime, Deion Sanders.
Interesting.
I mentioned the phrase on the schedule predictions episode, all hat, no cattle. Deion's going to talk a lot. And that's what's, you know, part of that, that's what's got him his fame and notoriety, right? Is he's, and for the record, we talked about this last year. Like, if Deion wasn't coaching Colorado, I'd have no problem with Deion Sanders. Like, that's what he does. Right. He talks, he's flash, he's primetime, right? But something about him being the head coach at Colorado makes me absolutely sick. And him wearing that stupid cowboy hat, why is he doing that? Like, that's just, like, I don't know who he's trying to appease. Like, you know, the last time I checked, I don't know that there's a ton of, like, cowboys and ranchers that are big Colorado football fans. I could be wrong. I don't know. But when I think of Boulder, I think of hippies. And hippies, patchouli, yeah. and you know, the left-handed cigarettes. I don't think about Coach Prime in a cowboy hat, like and just the way that he makes everything, brings the drama to everything. And I wasn't impressed with him after our game with him last year, how he had to try to make it personal, like, making it even more frustrating is that, like, our coach is by all accounts a complete class act, and you know, I think he's, you know, he's got a lot of people that would vouch for him and a lot of connections in the coaching business, and there's a reason for that. So Coach Prime, he's my number two, most annoying, most hated, whatever you want to call it, coach that we're going to play this fall.
Love it. All sound reasoning, Matty O, all makes sense. So I know who your number one is going to be. So my number two is Kirk Ferentz. I kind of want to let this Matty O take this one and just froth at the mouth. He talks about Kirk Ferentz. So I'll just say one thing that I know you probably won't say because it's like a one-off example, but, I have this memory seared into my brain. We came to the Big Ten, we beat Iowa in 2011 and 2012, and it didn't feel like a rivalry. It was like, just, they're the new Colorado who we beat every Thanksgiving weekend. And that's that.
Yeah.
And in 2013, I'm convinced that we had a really good team in 2013. I don't know if you guys remember this. Michigan State was the other one in 2013. Number one defense in the country came into town. We moved the ball on them. We kept turning it over. We kept giving it back to them. We lost that game. Iowa, same deal. I felt we had the better team that year. We kept turning the ball over, kept giving it back to them in Lincoln. We lost that game. First time we lost to Iowa. And that definitely, like, that was the start of something igniting in me. But the memory that seared into my brain is Kirk Ferentz standing there on the sideline smiling. Now, he's allowed to smile. His team just won, okay? It doesn't make him a bad person or anything. But I just remember texting I remember texting so many people like, this is not okay. This loss is not okay. Kirk Ferentz standing there smiling in Memorial Stadium is not okay. And the guy, a lot of what you said resonated as well, Jeff. Like, they've been a really good football program since 2015, right? Mm-hmm. 2015. They clearly made some tweaks and made some changes. But like, just the fact of like accepting, like, don't you want to be great? Don't you want to play for a title before you retire? Like, their formula is great for going somewhere between like 8-4 and 10-2 in the Big Ten most years. In 2015, they went 12-0. Even though they got throttled, you know, they got beat in the Big Ten championship game and they got throttled in the bowl game. They still talk about that as their undefeated season. But anyway, But like that's kind of the every now and then you catch lightning in a bottle and you have a season like that. But like, don't you want to shoot for that? Like, I don't like the formula makes no sense to me. It's obviously worked more often than it hasn't in recent years. I think that's going to start to change, guys. I'm not just talking about Nebraska. Like, I think after a few more years in the new Big Ten, they're going to start losing more. Unless they have a cupcake schedule, which they always seem to.
They always do. They always do.
College Football Industrial Complex.
CFIC definitely.
They're gonna start losing more, and they're just gonna have him gracefully retire because it's gonna become less and less acceptable, I think, to Iowa fans, and then we'll see what happens. But like, so that's where I'll stop. I've said too much. I don't like Kirk Ferentz. I don't like Iowa. And no. it's not okay that he ever smiles in Memorial Stadium. Geoff, number one.
I do think it was number funny. I do think it was funny though how you're like, well, they're the way they do things. Like, are they content with just having this record with this many? Well, I guess they did go 12-0 that one year. Like,
but it was against a cupcake schedule.
Every single
year they somehow always get away with not having to play Michigan or not having to play Ohio State or Penn State. And my God,
they went 12-2, Geoff. That was the point.
Okay.
That was the point.
All right. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
He was on my list too. Okay.
All right. Sorry. All right. Number one for you, Geoff.
Number one for me. Ryan Day. Okay.
I knew it.
Why wouldn't he? He takes shots at elderly people, for God's sake. What the hell's his problem? I'd like to see where Lou Holtz is at right now. Well, Lou Holtz, for all you know, could have passed away in the last 5 minutes. He's an elderly man. Leave alone. Leave that old man alone, Ryan. It's your problem. Dear Lord.
You knew where Lou Holtz was. Lou Holtz was watching that. I'm going, what the heck did he just say about me?
Right.
Did he just mention my name?
Picking a fight with a 90-year-old dude. Like, whatever, dude. And so your team's not good enough to beat Jim Harbaugh, even though they are cheaters. I will say that Michigan is a bunch of cheaters. But since your team isn't good enough to beat these cheaters, you have to hire Chip Kelly to run your offense. Like, if you bring in Chip Kelly as your offensive coordinator, like, it questions me, like, what you do as a head coach. Like, what do you do? You know what I mean? Like, I just don't understand, like, his role now that you brought in Chip Kelly to run that offense. I just, the dude pisses me off. He just, what does he look like? That dude from Popeye, Bluto, like the big old dude with a giant freaking jaw, big old black beard. Dork. Can't stand that guy. I hate him so much. But if I had to go like 5A, I would say that I know they're not on the schedule, but PJ Fleck is a complete D-bag too.
How did I leave him off? We don't play them.
He's just number one on my list, period. I don't care if we play him or not. I just can't stand that guy.
Yeah, he should be honorable mention. We don't play him, but...
He's got a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Universal honorable mention, most annoying coach, PJ Fleck. We can all agree
with that. Don't care if you're on the schedule or not. Yeah. You're my number one annoying coach. Yeah, there you go.
Absolutely. Geoff, your thoughts on Ryan Day are interesting. I kind of like the guy.
I know you're kidding.
Don't troll me, asshole.
Well, I don't have a problem with him. He was on. It was us in Ohio State in the COVID season, and Ryan Day was right there.
Oh yeah,
backing up Coach Frost, so we could all play football. Yep. And I don't know his Street Fighter mentality. You know, maybe got the best of him when he made those comments about Lou Holtz. But I don't mind the guy.
Keep Lou Holtz's name out of your mouth, all right? Don't ever talk ill of that man ever again.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. Okay. So, Matty O, I want you to go very last for your number one.
Okay.
Because I'm excited for what you have to say. So, I'll go next. My number one was Coach Prime. It was interesting because I thought this out. I reordered mine a couple of times in a few different ways. It's been interesting to me, the evolution of my thoughts on Coach Prime. We've talked about this before. If you listen to some of the stuff he said in the locker room and to his players and like at his previous job, I've liked what he's had to say as a coach. Even he preaches old school values. His staff preaches, talks about hard work and discipline and doing your job. And you guys think you want to go to the league. You're not doing enough to get yourself there. Like, they're honest with their players, at least in stuff they, the videos they've put out there. I have admired that. I've appreciated that. I would say two things for why he's number one on my list. One, we now have more information in the last year and a half, since he's come to Colorado. And two, he's at Colorado. I hadn't thought about that before, Matty O, but obviously that's a huge, huge one for me. Like, if he was doing this stuff at like Florida or something, I think we'd all be kind of entertained by it, right? So the Colorado factor is obviously a huge factor.
That's a good point. Right.
Yeah. Right. But we hate Colorado, and the game last year was super annoying for so many reasons, as we've talked about. But also, like, I think he's probably a good man. I think the desire, the flashy side of him gets the best of him very often, and it's just super annoying. And like, you see, like we talked about on the last episode, I generally don't think his philosophy on like adding up, you know, dozens of new players through the transfer portal every year, I don't think that's sustainable. I don't think that's a formula for success. And then you just look at some of the other things of like, I've seen it with Shadur. I don't know if other players are doing it, but like Shadur dogging on former teammates on Twitter when they leave the program, and or like saying, "Oh, I didn't even know who he was, or must not have been that good," or those types of things. I was also doing
the
a little
coach goof. Does that.
Well, yeah, right. Dion does make some of those comments too, which I like. You know, it's just crazy. Not. You know, yeah, right, right. And then like, so Dion Sanders Jr., who's not on the team, but obviously part of the family. He runs this company called Well Off Media. They produced a whole video that's basically going after this walk-on QB who left and was critical of the program. And like, I feel like if you think about other coaches in that scenario, his kids, like the first day of spring ball, Shadur and Shiloh were at some fashion thing, right? Some fashion show or whatever you call it.
Gala?
Yeah, I don't know. It was like, and you know, again, like he can do what he wants with this program. He can do what he wants with his players. But I just think you throw all this stuff in the blender of like this, the carousel of new players every year. The fact that like, there doesn't seem to be a lot of respect for, you know, I love what Coach Rhule does when I think he knows every guy's name on the team and he wants to see walk-on succeed. And he wants to like, but even the guys who, you know, aren't going to play, you see the importance of their role in the program. You're not sort of laughing at them as they have one foot out the door, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just not really like a mature way to handle things.
Oh.
And then there was a time last year, didn't he like not know one of his players' names or something?
Yeah.
Like I'm not sure how plugged in he is to the day-to-day stuff, right? And just like not making recruiting visits, like all this, you put all this stuff in the blender. It seems pretty clear it's not a formula for long-term success. And then like just the way he made stuff personal with Coach Rhule last year, and like the way, you know, Shadur made stuff personal about the game and everything. So, I mean, the last thought I had, I do believe like he was one of the greatest athletes of all time. I think he probably lived those old school values that we talked about as a player. I think he wants his players to live them. I do not believe he's showing himself to be holding them to that standard, though.
Right.
Right. I mean, I think it's kind of like this mindset, like here's what you need to do. Now I'm going to go give another corporate speech or something. Like now I'm going to go do another commercial or something. And it's not like they're 18 to 22. It's an NFL mindset of like, you got to do this. If you can't figure it out, too bad. I don't think that's going to work in college. I find the whole thing annoying. And I think part of this too is thinking about if this, in this scenario, Colorado ever got good under his leadership and how freaking annoying their entire fan base would be.
Oh God. Yeah. Do you remember
how unbearable he'd be?
Do you remember how annoying it was after two games last year?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
That was already obnoxious. Could you imagine if it actually panned out?
Yeah. If it ever works. Lord. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, they last year was the prime mania but the first 3-4 weeks was really a stroke of luck for them. I mean, they faced a TCU team that was really good the year before.
Right, exactly.
And wasn't as good. Played in week one. TCU had no idea what to expect.
Yep.
And neither did Colorado. I mean, and then we basically handed them the game against us.
We handed them the Jeff Sims combo.
We handed them the Jeff Sims combo. Yeah. Tampa, so
good, man.
God. Yeah, I mean it didn't go that well for them the rest
and
of
then,
the season.
And then they almost lost to Colorado State after that.
Yeah.
So that's not doesn't reflect well on Nebraska, but I do think this year we'll get off of this in a minute, but I'm pretty sure they start North Dakota State, Nebraska, Colorado State. They could lose any or all of those games.
Right.
Like I wouldn't be surprised if they start 1-2.
Yeah.
Like they could absolutely lose. I mean, if that defense doesn't improve, if their physicality doesn't improve, they could lose to North Dakota State. And you know, Colorado State's going to be frothing at the mouth to get them, and we're going to beat them. So, all right. Go ahead, Gio.
Just a very well thought out answer to your number.
Hey, Common fans. Sorry about that. Not sure what happened as we were just about to wrap up the episode. Our recording was interrupted. So we're jumping right back into the episode here. Geoff's five most annoying coaches have been, Geoff, remind me, refresh my memory.
Well, Ryan Day was the number one. The thing I think right when we ended the episode, I was complimenting you on how you said your research on Coach Prime about why you dislike him. Whereas my I was attributing my decisions to Ryan Day looked like the dude from Popeye. That was my
Bluto.
Yeah. So kudos to you for actually, you know, doing a little bit of research and me just relying solely on a physical appearance.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Project guy. You clearly don't even remember your list at this point. I went number five, Lincoln Riley from USC. Number four, Kurt Cignetti from Indiana. Number three, Bert Bielema. Number two, Kurt Ferentz. Number one, Coach Prime. Geoff, you went, I started with Fickell from Wisconsin.
Yes.
And then you went, who was your number four?
Ferentz
was your number four.
And then I went up the chain there with, I went with Lincoln Riley. Or no, Lincoln I went with Riley. Prime.
And then Prime from Colorado.
Riley
from USC. Ryan Day from Ohio State. Matty O, you and I were very similar. You went Lincoln Riley for number five. Who was your number four?
Ryan Walters, yeah.
Walters from Purdue, that's right.
Might be a reach, but...
Number three for you was Bert Bielema. Number two for you was Coach Prime.
Yes. Matt,
who's your number one most annoying
I think
coach
we all know who it is. I think we all know who it is. It's the longest tenured coach in the Big Ten. It's that smug coward, Kirk Ferentz. That's what he is. He's a coward. Let me ask you guys this. Let me put it to you this way. Geoff, if Parker was helping you coach your college football team, TJ, if Michael Boy was helping you coach your college football team, or Hudson, and he was running your offense wasn't doing so hot. Administration comes to you and says, hey, we want to fire your son. What would you do? You know what I would do? I don't want you to answer. You know what I would do? I would say, well, you can kiss my ass goodbye. I'm not letting you fire my son. This guy, this punk, this old man, the game has passed him by. It's passed him by. They're so old school. Like, and normally I love old school stuff, but you have to adapt to modern football, modern college football. You have to be able to score points. You have to be able to move the ball. You have to have something that resembles a modern offense. Why? So you can attract modern, talented college football players. Do you have great tight ends every year? Yeah, you do. But that doesn't translate to winning the big games. Have they beat some good teams over there? Yeah, they have. It took Nebraska a historically bad stretch, the worst stretch of Nebraska football in over a half century, for Iowa to beat us consistently. And they didn't even beat, like, they beat us bad a couple of times. Okay.
Yep.
They beat
yep.
us bad when we had Riley. Scott Frost had a terrible run, but did we get demolished by Iowa? No, we should have beat them at least three times, maybe four, because they are so bad. They are such a bad football team. They do some things well, they tackle well, and they play good special teams. Should teams win football games because doing those two things well? Only those two things? No, they should not. They should not.
You know, can I?
He's a fraud. He's a fraud. He puts this thing, we're trying to do things the right way and all this. There's like low-key racism in his program a few years ago. They had to fire their strength coach because of it.
I don't think it was very low-key.
Thank you. I was trying to be nice about it because I'm Nebraska nice.
Yeah.
This guy is a fraud and a coward. And I can't wait till we start beating the brakes off him and his field. He's going to be forced to retire before too long. I mean, they bring in some new OC and that's not going to go well either. Hey, guess what? Maybe we look in the mirror and maybe it's time for Kirk to go. There is a certain sect of Iowa fans that have been ready for that for years. Because there are some of those Iowa fans that say, you know what? I would like to see better than 8 wins. I would like to see that.
You know, you could, if I could jump in here for a second, Matteo.
He's a fraud and a coward.
You could say that we did more to try to save his own son's job than he did.
Yeah,
we
did. Right.
We did. We started. We started a change.org petition.
We had the petition to save
because we care about the family. We care about the nuclear family.
It was about at that point. It wasn't about the rivalry. It was about a man's livelihood.
That's right.
It really was.
That's right.
Imagine how terrible that felt for poor little Brian at Ferenc family Christmas. Just got let go. Dad, why didn't you do anything to stop him? That's probably what he said.
That's probably what he said.
You know what he had to say? You know what he probably said? Kirk, Brian, I'm sorry. I'm a coward.
He would have had a lot of evidence to answer with. But you're right, Matteo. And I think that's the point we need to drill in on it is the guy who allowed his own son to be fired.
Yeah.
And didn't say, I'm done with this. But after all I've given to this place.
He whacked him.
Yeah. He stays or I go.
Yeah.
That's what you do. And I don't think they would have called his bluff. I really don't.
No.
I don't think they would have shot the hostage.
No, they would.
That's you bring a really good point for all of you fathers out there and mothers too.
Oh, for the love of God.
Just to see what an absolute coward this man is.
And a fraud.
They're not a family man.
No.
Clearly not a
family. That's not Midwest values.
No, that's absolutely not Midwestern family values. Well said, Matteo. Jeff, do you have anything to say to that?
Go ahead, Jeff. You gonna defend him?
Well, kinda, yeah, maybe. Like they're beating us. Like, and then we talk this game. Like, well, yeah, they're the way they do things. They're not keeping up with college football, and they're not able to win the big games. And then 2 seconds later, you turn around and you say, yeah, they've won some big games, but like,
how dare you, Jeff?
Regular season games, Jeff. You know, Jeff. Talk to me about how big of a deal it was that they beat Ohio State. What was that now? 6-7 years ago, they beat the pants off Ohio State because Ohio State turned the ball over, wasn't ready to play. That's not Ohio State. That's not, Iowa didn't beat Ohio State. Ohio State beat Ohio State that night.
All right, this, fine. Thank you.
Point of clarification. This brings us to the core issue with Iowa for Nebraska fans is that we believe correctly, we are and always will be better than the Iowa Hawkeyes as a program.
We are.
And so the losses are just a blip on the radar. They are content to settle for never winning anything or winning any championships of any kind. That's fine with them as long as they get 8 wins and can punt the ball really well.
12-0 that one season.
That's why 12-2. That's why we are and always will be better than them. And this is like the big crux with, but I will at least like acknowledge that they're our rival. Some Nebraska fans don't even want to say that they're our rival because we're so superior to them. And, you know, again, I can respect that position as well.
Yeah, there are, I mean, but I think you can say they're our rival, but they're our rival. I don't respect them. I don't respect them at all. I think they're disgusting. Oh. Iowa Hawkeyes. I don't blame the player. The players that they didn't do anything here. They made a terrible choice to go play at Iowa, but the Iowa fans, my God, They think we're delusional.
We're
talking about delusional. My God, us like they've been winning national championships. That's how they talk to us.
I've seen this in person
or any championships of any kind.
Yeah, some kind of championship. Yeah. Show me your championships.
You want to see the fire of 1,000 suns in somebody's eye? Just sit with Matt Owens during an Iowa game
at Memorial Stadium
when they win and we're leaving. Oh my god!
Last year I was with you. Yes. They're jumping up and down and high fiving like they just won the Big Ten.
Exiting the stadium.
We were
by
losing.
One
we
of
were
the most
five and
uncomfortable
seven
situations
football
I've
team.
been in. Uncomfortable God. Situation I've ever
go to
been
your
in.
go to your car.
Exiting the
go to your
with
car and head east, guys. Go get in your car. Head east on I-80. I'll draw you up a map.
Find your wind turbines.
Oh my gosh, you guys. All right. Well, on that note, this has been a really fun episode.
Technical difficulties be damned.
We are just fine. We can handle the technical difficulties. Any final thoughts, Common fans?
I think Owen said it all. I don't have a lot to say after that. I mean, how could you?
No.
Ryan Day's a butthole, though. I will say that.
You know, it'd be interesting to do this, a list like this after this season, and see what changes, if anything.
Something, a few things will change. Something will happen to change the list for sure.
Somebody new might creep into the top five for us.
Like, we'll run Colorado out of the stadium and out of the state, and they'll go like 3-9, and then there'll be an afterthought, and we'll be like, Coach Prime isn't that annoying anymore because he just took the Florida State job or whatever. Like, so like things will change that will change the list. So we should do this. This would be a good one to do in like January, February.
Touche.
All right, fellas. Well, another fun episode from the Common Fans. We appreciate you listening as always, Common Fans. Stick with us. And in the meantime, GBR for life. We'll be right back.